Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Pastor Dan Hauge.
Hi, I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, and you're listening to Life Matters. As part of our Sanctity of Human Life Month series, we're talking with pastors whose churches are standing up for the value of every human life. I'm very pleased to welcome Pastor Dan Hauge, Senior Pastor of Grace Bible Church in Bellevue. Today, we'll be discussing how the church can champion life from the womb to eternity. Pastor Dan, thank you so much for joining me today.
It really is my pleasure, Toni.
You know, I've shared before that growing up, I didn't necessarily hear messages on life. I grew up in a church. Not that there weren't any, I just don't remember any. And so some would say that sometimes our churches are quiet or passive when it comes to life issues. So how can the church avoid being silent or passive on the issue without becoming political or divisive?
Well, I think to some degree, it's going to be political. We're not moving into their arena. They're moving into ours. Mm-hmm. When the government decided to be involved with issues of life, now they stepped into our world. Okay. And because we serve a God who gives life, you know, it's important for us to speak about it. And I've grown to love a certain word in the last couple of years, and that's the word intentionality. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can embrace things, but James talks about receiving God's word implanted, which is able to deliver your life. And in context, he's talking about the ruin of sin.
Yeah.
And James is teaching that when you're under trial, it's easier to sin, so you need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, in the first section of that slow to speak section, he talks about receiving God's word implanted, which is able to deliver your life in the original, delivers your life. And that's all, that phrase is always used of temporal life, you know. And so what he says next is a verse I'm sure you're familiar with, but prove yourself doers of the word, not merely hearers, to delude themselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looks at the natural face in the face of his birth in the mirror, and he walks away, immediately forgets who he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man should be blessed in what he does. And then he goes on at the end of that chapter, when he talks about living out what God's word teaches you, it comes to the end of the chapter, and he specifically brings up the issue of caring for those less fortunate. He said, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so there's that compassion toward those in need, and certainly those who have had abortion, those that are aged, dealing with issues of life there. But just remember, the world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah.
I know that's a counterculture message, but the world doesn't revolve around us. And as believers, God teaches us life is important. And you say, man, that's great. I'm going to pray about that. Well, get off your spiritual backside and do something about it. You know, be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Be salt, be light.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things I often say is that that unborn child is not Republican or Democrat. It's
that's right.
It's a little life.
That's right.
And I think we have to remember that. But yeah, I agree with you. The politics, unfortunately, does enter. It has a play, but it shouldn't.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that there are some issues that should be cross-cultural and
yes.
cross-party lines.
Yeah.
I think everybody should care about life.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes, not always, but it can be emphasis. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have people maybe more on one side of the political spectrum that will emphasize the mom, mm-hmm. on the other, the baby. I would love it if we would listen to one another and
yeah.
what's wrong with both.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. So it sounds like your church has a culture of grace, but how can other churches cultivate a culture of grace and support for the women and men who have experienced abortion in the past? And maybe not just abortion, maybe other things as, you know, drug addiction, those things. How did you do it, and how can other churches create that?
Well, some of the ministries we've been involved with are ministries that have been involved with a need for grace, like Assure Women's Center. And I think that if the leadership is involved in intentionality that way, we're going to have a pro-life Sunday, or we're going to go to the abortion chambers and picket, or we're going to support financially, things like that. The leadership, I think, needs to do just that, take leadership and intentionality and say, you know, we're going to deal with women that have been trafficked, or we're going to deal with, go to the Open Door Mission, help people that are involved with alcoholism or drugs. You know, if we embrace our own personal need and consider the way the Lord has been toward us, it's a lot easier to project that to others. And so in our fellowship, we try to, as part of our missions budget, you know, to be involved with things like that. And, you know, to be unafraid that way.
Are there some practical things that your church has chosen to engage in life-affirming ministries?
Well, for example, when they do the Walk for Life in Lincoln, we try to advertise that, encourage participation. And one thing I would say to everybody who's listening, you know, you've got your own lane. You know what you can do and can't do. And for some people, like, for example, young mothers, just my heart breaks for them. You know, I just think someday in your future, moms, you're going to be able to sleep, take a shower, go to the bathroom without your kid there. But those moms are sitting at home listening and thinking, I can't help. I can't do this. You can pray.
Yes.
You can give financially, things like that. But we need to say, how can I, in what ways can I be involved? I would frankly encourage them to call us here and say, give me a list. Mm-hmm. Tell me things I can do. Mm-hmm. Finances are always there. Prayer is always there. I really do believe that many of us minimize prayer far beyond how the Lord would want us to. Mm-hmm. Prayer really does matter. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Yeah. So abortion, Assure Women's Center, activities like that should be a part of our normal prayer life. Mm-hmm. And then as you consider your budget, I think that your local church should be a priority. But in our lives, we have money aside for other things like Assure, because the Lord watches that. And you know, the old American statement is where your, Jesus said, where your money is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah.
That's really true. And yeah. So I think that sit down and brainstorm together. Can we go to the Walk for Life in Lincoln? Can we go to the abortion clinics to picket? Mm-hmm. What can we do? We will get together, for example, and write letters to congressmen, mm-hmm. and cards and things like that, urging them to support pro-life issues, things like that.
Yeah, thank you. Your church is very active. And you know, I was going to ask you how you connect with local pregnancy centers, but you kind of already answered that. But also, too, you have several people that attend your church that are on staff at Assure and volunteers as well. And so I think that's another way that I think churches can get involved with the local ministry. And not just Assure, but if you have a staff person or a volunteer that is plugged into an organization like Assure or someplace else, they need your encouragement. They need your prayers.
They do.
Yeah. And so that's another way to get involved as well.
In today's society, the polarization is getting extreme.
Yeah.
And people do need encouragement, because they're going to be shouting at the people that work here and writing, calling hateful things. Mm-hmm. And they do need encouragement. But of course, with Chris and Allie, you know, you have two of the best here. So
yeah.
I'm sure that they're strong and they help a lot.
I don't have any favorites, but they're two of my favorites. I have an amazing staff, and they're just two great ladies. Both of them are. Pastor Dan, could you share a story or moment that stands out to you where your church saw the impact of coming alongside a woman or family facing an unsupported pregnancy?
Sure. One stands out to me. It's been a while, but I remember I was in my office one day, and a younger lady came in, younger to me now. She wasn't that young, I guess, at the time, but she came in and she just started sobbing.
Mm.
And I had no idea what her life had been like earlier. And she just couldn't quit crying. And 20 years earlier, she had an abortion.
Mm.
Now she had three girls.
Mm-hmm.
She had three beautiful daughters and had her own business. And after 20 years, it still followed her. And I was able to share with her the reality of God's forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and some stories about that. So your heart goes out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that we see every day. And you know, talk about the power of prayer. I would say our staff needs prayer, because we have those stories. Sometimes we know a young lady is heading to the abortion clinic and she's been here. And so just how do you deal with that? How do we deal with that as a staff? I don't necessarily see patients, but I came in close contact with the patient a few months ago. And this young lady was being forced into an abortion. She showed up at our office with her 2-year-old baby in a suitcase because her boyfriend had put her out. And I feel like that day wrecked me so bad, because I don't necessarily serve patients. I'm more administrative. But that I was brought right into the life of that young lady. And there's no way you could work with these girls and these families and not have it tug at your heart, because it's life. It's talk about empathy. I know how hard it was for me that night to sleep. I just kept thinking, you know, how's she doing? You know, we got her room and got her squared away and got her to a better path. But that really, for me, reminded me of why it's so important for us to be here in the space that we are, serving the girls that we do.
And if I can say this, it also is incumbent on men to step up and be men.
Yes.
They're great to be with women sexually, and they don't mind the sexual involvement. But then when the time comes to be responsible for that,
absolutely,
and to deal with that, to push them to try to, it's just another way of them hiding.
Yeah.
They're hiding behind those women. They're forcing them to do things that will affect their life forever.
Yeah.
This young lady that was in my office, think about this, three little beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And she, 20 years later, she's still struggling with what she had done as a young lady. And shame on that guy for what he did to her.
Yeah.
And for the way he impacted her life. So.
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Absolutely. Also, too, kind of going back or revisiting churches being perhaps passive or not necessarily addressing certain issues, I think sometimes we forget how many women in our church body have experienced abortions. And when we don't talk about it, they suffer in silence. And perhaps, I don't know if this young lady is one, but I certainly know several that for years sat in the congregation and didn't tell anyone. I've made the comment as well. I can't remember one time that I visited a church and talked about the work of Assure and talked about our post-abortion Bible studies that someone did not come up to me after service and say, hey, I had an abortion 20 years ago and they're still struggling with it because it was never addressed. And so I think that speaks volumes to why the church does need to be more vocal and to be more involved with pregnancy centers, with the work in ministries that do pro-life ministry, because it's not just about the baby. It's about other things as well that directly affect a congregation.
Well, as a man, I can't feel what that feels like. I know that we lost a child, and I said to my wife, I feel so bad that I feel bad for you and I feel bad for us. But, you know, the baby never moved inside of me.
Yeah.
My body didn't change. I didn't go through what she went through. But I saw the hurt on her. And I think, again, back to the issue of men, it frustrates me that men aren't being men. Mm-hmm. And they're expressing their manhood, they think, by being involved sexually, but they're not expressing their manhood by stepping up the way they should.
Mm-hmm. Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Toni Clark, the Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. We're in the midst of our Sanctity of Human Life Month series, talking with Pastor Dan Halge from Grace Bible Church in Bellevue, Nebraska, about the church's role in upholding life. Pastor, in your church, what role do volunteers, small groups, or church members play in the efforts of creating that culture of grace and around life?
We have some wonderful people. Jeannie's one of them, mm-hmm. where they'll have Jeannie will have a letter writing night, and she'll help run that. And we write people about that. Chris and Allie are great to remind us, hey, we've got this day coming up. We're going to be doing anything special for this time. Mother's Day, of course, it's hard for us not to think about this. Mm-hmm. And so we have quite a number of people that, you know, will serve here. And even the simple things like reminders, the fact that we have a fellowship that embraces that is so valuable to me as a pastor, because every pastor struggles with the idea of approval. And it's so encouraging to have a congregation that stands on God's word. And when I bring up abortion, I think we've had some leave because they don't like it, and that's okay. I'd like to have talked to them about it more, but it's really important as a congregation member to encourage your pastor and say, hey, we're behind you. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see this. When you do that, it just motivates a pastor even more to stand for what he should stand for.
Okay. So, Pastor, what would you say to that pastor who feels hesitant to speak about abortion or life issues from the pulpit?
Well, the Bible talks in 1 Peter 5 and 2 Corinthians 5 about God's evaluation later on. 2 Corinthians 5 says, We must all appear before the judgment seat to give an account for the deeds which we've done in the body, whether good or bad. And that's to believers. Mm-hmm. The Great White Throne is not a destination for born-again people. But the Bema Seat, they call it, is a destination for all Christians. And as a pastor, I would say this to you. I've been a pastor 43 years. You and I will be evaluated for what we've preached. Mm-hmm. Paul says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, in good times and bad times. Reprove, rebuke, with all patience and authority. You know, Paul said, don't let anybody disregard you. And this world's looking for leadership, and people need us to lead them the right way spiritually. And that includes issues like this. And if a person thinks it's superfluous, I would say it's not superfluous to the babies.
Yeah.
Not superfluous to the moms. And we want our children to grow up caring about the unborn. I have a almost three-year-old granddaughter, and my other granddaughters too. When they get around little babies, they're completely enamored by them. Yeah. Children are naturally gravitated towards the innocent children. They love that. Mm-hmm. And what better way to teach them the value of life but to say, with the older people, and those that are elderly now, and they're coming toward the end of their lives, and with the younger, from womb to tomb, as some like to say it, mm-hmm. that life is valuable. And so I know people that will take their children even to picket lines, things like that, just to let them know, mom and dad are committed to this.
Yeah.
And if you talk about it, I'll tell you one thing, as an older man, I'll tell you this, you talk about issues but don't live them out, it will actually cause your children to despise you. Yeah. Children can handle a lot of things, but children have a very hard time with hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So when they see mom and dad living consistent with their values, mm-hmm. that impacts your kids. You want your children saying, I remember when we went to this, I remember mom and dad always would give money to yeah. pro-life events. Mom and dad would go to these gatherings. Mom and dad always told us yeah. to value life.
Yeah.
And what a great way to rear your children, that mm-hmm. life is important.
Yeah, that's good. I think, but once again, I said I didn't really grow up and, you know, thinking or talking about pro-life issues, but I made that, I made it something that I focus on with my girls, because it's not something, you know, that I grew up with. And thank God I found it. Not that I wasn't pro-life, but I didn't know. We didn't talk about it. So they certainly have been involved with Assure. And yeah, it's just really good that, as you said, that we model that for them, not just talk it, that we model it.
And we're proud of some of our children are very involved with pro-life ministry, and I'm proud of them for making that an issue with her.
So kind of going back to the pastors that perhaps, you know, need some encouragement to speak about abortion or life issues from the pulpit. What about that pastor that wants to get involved but don't really know how to start?
Your phone's available, right?
Yes, it is.
No, and obviously they could call me. I'd love to have coffee. I'll buy them lunch. They'll get a free lunch out of it. I think that the great thing about pro-life work is that there's so many levels. A good friend of mine for a number of years, Denny Hartford and his wife, Claire, years ago made this an issue for me and helped me because it just comes up all the time. So we learned there's many layers to this. So we go to some of their letter writing nights. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to take a couple hours and, you know, write people encouraging congressmen and so on, companies to follow life, you know, that mm-hmm. sort of a thing. You can be more active. You can be involved in picketing, things like that. But finances, prayers. The great thing about ministry is there's many, many ways you can do it. And I'll tell you this, and Tony, I believe that you believe this. When someone tells me now, as I've gotten older in life, I pray for you. Mm-hmm. 30, 40 years ago, that was nice. Now at this stage, I want to just hug them because it's so vital.
Yeah.
And if we believe there's a God on the other side of our prayers yeah. and we say, I'm going to give every day of my life, I'll pray for pro-life ministry.
Yeah.
I think that thrills the heart of God. Mm-hmm. I think the angels of God are thrilled by that. So even to say, look, I'm a young mom, I can't get out, but I will give 10 minutes a day, yeah. 10 minutes a day,
yeah.
you know, that's impactful. Mm-hmm. And heaven regards that. So I think even something simple like committing yourself to prayer, mm-hmm. for those of us that have been around for a while, we realize that's not a small issue. That's yeah. a big deal.
Absolutely.
Big deal.
I can't tell you. I agree with you. I can't tell you how good I feel when someone says I've been praying for you, because I can feel those prayers.
Yeah.
And I have been the recipient of some of those letter writing nights. And I feel like those letters come at just the right moment. They're addressed to me. And so when I read it, I'm in my office and I'm like, oh man, I needed this today. And so I cannot tell you how important those little encouraging notes are that Denny and you guys, the letter writing nights.
Yeah,
I love receiving those.
Well, the Bible says to encourage one another, so
yeah,
that's what we need to do.
They come at the right moment. They really do. So, you know, one of the things I hear a lot from sometimes individual people, they'll say, well, I don't have a lot to give. And so they don't think that, or I don't have a lot of time. You know, so they think that their contributions don't make a huge impact. Perhaps there's a smaller church that feels that same way. What would you say to that church who might be small and think and that they think that their impact is not great or they don't have much to offer?
Yeah. Yeah, not true. Of course, you know about the widow's mite.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, I think sometimes when things are familiar, we tend not to pay much attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate because almost everybody listening has heard about the widow's mite,
yeah,
where she gave a couple coins and in the horns they threw it in, it would have been pretty noisy and they knew she didn't give much. When Jesus said that she gave more than anybody else, what did he mean by that? You know, we have people that in our fellowship that we know don't have much money.
Yeah.
If they, the board was talking recently about a particular individual. If she gives $5, we know that that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that give $1,000 and it doesn't mean as much as the $5. So number one, we're living before the Lord and the question isn't how much am I giving compared to someone else?
Right.
The question is, what does the Lord think of what I'm giving?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we try to go on, like when David gave a sacrifice, said, I won't give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me.
Yeah.
You know, I think to say, we try to give until it hurts a little bit, till we notice it, you know? So financially, I wouldn't worry about amount. I'd worry about how God feels about your giving. Same with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in terms of if you can't do much activity, God knows that. But here's my overall advice. Live before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how much time you have. God knows how much money you have. And I know from seeing people who are not involved, a small church can be a powerful church.
Mm-hmm.
What I've said to our church at times is, how would you like to stand before the Lord? And the Lord said, you impacted the world by what you did.
Yeah.
So if we commit ourselves saying, what's my lane? What can I do? Maybe you can give money. Maybe you can give prayer. Maybe you can give time. Maybe you can give activity. But whatever you do, give. And do it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
When I live before the Lord, I've told my wife this on many occasions. When I'm accountable to Jesus, I live a much better life. When I'm looking at who's noticing me, I'm not as spiritual a man. So when I think about my thought life before my wife and before the Lord, I think, Lord, how do I live before you and be accountable? When I think about giving, Lord, I want to live before you. One of my daily prayers is I pray that I will live for your approval above all else.
Yeah.
The leaders in Israel in John chapter 12, it said they love the approval of men more than the approval of God. That's a serious problem. And it's something I pray about every day because it's one of my weaknesses. I want people to like me, but I want Jesus to be pleased with me.
Absolutely.
He accepts me, but I want him to approve of what I'm doing as well. So.
Absolutely. That's good. I often say I want to live so close to Jesus that I just exude him.
Amen.
Every decision. I want people to know that I've been in his presence. And the other verse I think about often is be careful when all men think well of you.
Yeah.
And that just kind
of. Well, then I'm okay. No, I'm with you.
Amen.
The life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Yeah, I've been crucified with Christ.
Amen.
That's how we live.
Yes, absolutely. But how can the body of Christ work together across denominations and ministries to truly be a voice for life in our communities?
There are groups I disagree with theologically, biblically. I think they're wrong. I think they're wrong in many areas. But what we say around our church all the time is, I'll say babies with anybody.
Yeah.
And so the word fellowship means joint participation of things held in common. Where do you overlap? And so there'll be people maybe different in baptism or the gospel or something like that. But on the area of life, do we agree? And so for me, that's really, can I fellowship around the area of life? If we're on the same page with that, I'm good.
I like that. I like that. Would you share one final word of encouragement or prayer for those listening who feel called to engage more deeply in this mission?
Yeah, if you haven't, with great love from a man who has failed in so many areas and still fail in them, but there are areas I'm repenting in. I would just say this, ministry is intentionality. And to get right with God in this area and say, Lord, I've neglected this. And probably most people listening are thinking, I'm so unbelievably busy, I can't take on one more thing. Well, you can, you know, you can do this. And so if you're praying, you can pray about this. If you're in the Word, you can look for this. But I would just say to start, you know, that's not, doesn't sound very profound, but I remember one time I talked to one of my mentors and I said, when you aren't getting something done, you just can't get started. What do? And he said, I do anything. I just get rolling.
Yeah.
And I would say pick something simple to get rolling. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a person that likes to text. Maybe you're a person that would do social media. Maybe you're a person that will take that time to pray. Mm-hmm. But pick something and say, Lord Jesus, give me the grace to be a man or a woman of God before you today in this area. Because, Lord, you value life. I want to value it too. Help me to follow up on this.
Amen. Good, good. All right, one last question.
Oh, good.
Where can listeners learn more about your church?
Oh, well, the sermons are boring, but the people are great. We're online at gbcbellevue.org. The sermons are there, and then we're also on YouTube. But that's one way to do it. We'd love to see you.
Okay.
Love to minister to you.
All right, and you're in Bellevue at?
In Bellevue. We're at the old South Roads Mall. Okay. I think it's 1001 Bellevue. It's by the Cornerstone School.
Yeah.
So, and that helps.
Awesome, awesome. Pastor Dan, thank you so much for sharing your heart, your church's vision, and the ways Grace Bible Church is standing for life. I want to remind our listeners, the call to champion life is not just for one week or one church. It's for the whole body of Christ, every day and everywhere. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information. That's firststeptolife.com. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on BOT Radio Network.